The longest chapter in Genesis is Genesis 24. This is a passage where we see Abraham commissioning his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. Now, if you're familiar with that chapter, you know there's a bit of repetition in there, which is one of the reasons why it's one of the longer chapters. But that's all right. We're not going to read the whole thing, because probably because of its length, but also it's not necessarily the point of this lesson. There are three things I want to point out about this particular individual. Three things that I think are very important about this servant. I believe, you know, my title here is Abraham's Servant, an Unsung Hero, because he has quite a bit of things that he does that I suppose could have been done without him, but man, he was a fairly interesting individual. First, I've got three things. He was trusted by his master. In other words, he was trustworthy. The second one, he was wise. And the third one, he was faithful. He trusted in God. Now, that's an interesting thing considering, well, we'll get to that one. He was trusted by his master. He was trustworthy. Let's look at the first nine verses of this chapter. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send an angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. I don't want to get too bogged down in some of the details, but I do want to point out that putting one's hand under a thigh was simply a ritual that they did in order to seal an oath, as it were. It was nothing kind of weird about it. That's how they did things back then. We might consider it weird, but it wasn't back then. Whatever the case, he was a faithful servant. You know, honesty and integrity are hard things to come by these days, aren't they? And he was very faithful. And yet he was a man, if the man that is praised for faith, Abraham was a man who was praised for faith, wasn't he? And he was this man's master. He was praised for his faith, but he recognized this man's faithfulness. Then that's something to take note of. If he is recognized for his faith and he sees faithfulness in others, pay attention. Pay attention. Well, Abraham did put him under this particular oath, that doesn't mean he trusted him less. It actually means he trusted him more. He recognized that his word meant something, that he could be trusted. At the same time, Abraham gave him an escape clause. You noticed in there that if she is not willing to come, then he is released from this oath. If whatever woman that he's chosen for his son decides she doesn't want to come, he's released from that oath. But that didn't make him less likely to try. Wouldn't that make you less, I mean, that might like make you less likely to try? Oh yeah, well there's an escape hatch over here. I'm just going to look for that escape hatch and see what happens. But in this case, he didn't. He tried very hard to do what his master wanted. And that was the right thing. he was still very earnest in fulfilling his promise. And consider the task that he was given. Abraham entrusted him finding a wife for his son. He left no criteria except that she belonged to his family, left in Nahor in Mesopotamia, as we see in verse 10. He goes up to that area, to the city of Nahor in the region of Mesopotamia. That's the only criteria that Abraham gives. All that you have to do is find a wife from this family for my son. Okay? Well, he was willing to do that, and he was willing to work hard for that. So Abraham must have trusted in his servant's judgment to find a good wife for him. And after all, she was going to be the mother of Israel. Now, they didn't know all that back then, that she was going to be the mother of Israel. But they did know that Isaac was going to be part of the promise given to Abraham, that he would be the father of many nations, and eventually Isaac, too, would be the father of many nations. And so we note that because of this, much had to be considered whenever you consider the wife of Isaac. Because when you see that, I mean, there's so much that a woman does in a family. Raises the children. Takes care of the family. There's so much influence that she has in that family that if he had picked poorly, if he had chosen poorly, things could have gone way worse. Verse 14, we see a prayer, or at least part of a prayer that he had given to God. And in that prayer, it says the criteria that he has imposed upon himself for finding this particular woman. Now, let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. You know, he asked the Lord to help him find a wife for Isaac. And here in this particular verse, you know, these aren't some random circumstances that he's asking for, that he's praying for. Oh, let this happen and this happen, and I'll know that's the person. That's not what's happening here. These are signs of service and hospitality that he was wanting this woman to possess. Because these traits are very desirable in a wife. Particularly back then in their culture where hospitality was paramount. So offering not only to give you water, but to give your camels water, well, that was no small task. He showed wisdom in finding a woman like that. And then he trusted God. We see in several verses in this particular chapter where he prayed. In verse 12, then he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. And then he goes into what we had just read in verse 14. And by this, I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. See, here he offered a prayer to God, calling him by his name. You know, that's not a small thing either. He is talking to a specific God. And that God is Jehovah God. We see, you might have noted in there that it says Lord God, and Lord is in all caps if you've got the King James or New King James. And that's an indication that that is the name of God. He's talking to Yahweh. He's talking to Jehovah. And he also, at this point, made a wise request of God. But he did not trust in his own wisdom. He trusted in God and his ability to help him in his task. After she had done all these things, he was still cautious. He was still cautious. In verse 21, it says, because this is what ends up happening. She does give him water, and the water and gives water to her to his camels. And in verse 21, the verse says, and the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He was He was thinking about what the Lord had done. He was thinking about this particular event and just trying to make sure that this is what he hoped it was, not getting his hopes up too much. But there was one more requirement that she had to meet, the one that was given by Abraham. Remember, she had to be of his family. And then when she says where she's from, that she is part of his family, he says in verses 26 and 27, "Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren.'" So what we notice is that he worshiped God. He expressed his joy that God was good to Abraham. But there was still a matter of settling with her family. So he met with them and explained the whole story to them. Finally, they agreed to let her go. And in verse 52, it says, "And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth." No doubt he was thanking God for his goodness. You see, this man, he was trustworthy, he was wise, and he was faithful to God. I think he would be considered an unsung hero. We don't hear a whole lot about this particular man. But he possessed all these traits and even found a wife for his master's son, Isaac. While Abraham did promise that an angel would accompany him, we did notice that earlier, it still had to be a monumental task. He had to pick a woman who would be good for Isaac, but also be a good mother to his children and be the mother of Israel. That's no small order. This choice would shape the history of the Israelite nation forever. Well, Rebecca was not perfect, as I'm sure you know, since you know the story overall. She was still the right choice, the best choice, far better than the Canaanite women who were around. And this servant that we've been talking about, the Lord's instrument, had traits that could benefit us as well. So let's strive to be trustworthy. Let's strive to be wise, and let's strive to be faithful to our God. To be faithful to our God, we must first become a Christian. I believe everyone here who's accountable has done that. So, but we want to make sure that we are right with Him. So, if you have some kind of need this evening, make sure that you are right with Him, so that we can help you, and we can help you do that. Please, if you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.